Welcome to Sharing the Word. I'm your host, Dr. Driver.
So reading the book of Esther, there's so many pieces in there, so many chapters in there that make you go, wow. I break it up into segments, if you will, where I could talk about, you know, King Xerxes and how big his kingdom was and how, you know, he was the ruler of the world at the time. And, you know, you get into the story of how he's having, you know, this massive banquet. And even the queen had her own thing going on as well, Vashti at the time. So there's separate banquets going on, and it was going on for days. So you can get into that story there and then learn what happened to Vashti and why she was exiled or kicked out of the kingdom. But with Esther, who is now the queen, here comes a concern that Esther has to bring to the king. And again, she's the queen. So she can only go to the king and present herself at an appointed time. And if he doesn't, you know, lean out his scepter, she's toasted. So she goes to the king because Mordecai told her that Haman already passed this through the king, this edict to annihilate the Jews. And that's talking about the Jewish people that stretch from India to Ethiopia. I want everybody to understand this. India to Ethiopia. I sometimes wonder why Hollywood does not even portray the nationality of what Xerxes, as well as Esther, Mordecai, and even the adversary Haman. You're talking about people of ethnicities, of dark skin, brown skin type people, because that's where the Jewish people are. They're living in the provinces of Susa and through all of India through Ethiopia. So there are Ethiopian Jews, people. There are Indian Jews. And this is the whole point of the story. So Haman just hated Mordecai so much that he just wanted to annihilate all Jews or anything that's a representation of the Jewish nation because of Mordecai. Mordecai would never bow to Haman because he was one of the top leaders under King Xerxes. So you figure, okay, you won't worship me, Haman. You won't bow, Mordecai, you won't bow before me. So he was so furious, and here he thinks that, well, Esther's having this big banquet, and she invited the king and only me. So he's that arrogant. And so he tells his household to build this huge pole, sharpen it up at the top, about 75 feet high, so that he's going to impale Mordecai on it. I'll kill Mordecai. Because I have power as well. But see, the king called Haman in to see him way before this so-called appointed banquet. Because he couldn't sleep. The king couldn't sleep. So the king finds out that there was a conspiracy to assassinate him. And he goes to his librarian. Well, what did I do to the person who discovered and uncovered the plot? And he said, the librarian goes, you haven't done nothing to recognize this person. Well, who's the person? He goes, oh, that's that servant Mordecai. Ah, okay. Well, who's that in the court down there? Oh, that's Haman. Well, send him up here so I can talk to him. And he's like, yeah, what can I do for you, king? Yeah, what does the king do when somebody has done something so extraordinary? What should the king do to recognize that person? And Haman, in his all prideful self, says, well, king, you need to, you know, honor him with all the pomp and circumstance that goes with it. Put the royal robes, put him on the king's own horse, and parade him through town and say, wow, wow, this is the man or person that the king recognizes. Wow. I like that, Haman. Why don't you do the same thing and don't leave out any details to that person, Mordecai? Now, that's a humbling approach right there. So Mordecai goes, oh, wow. He thought nothing of it. He just did his job. Told Queen Esther what was happening. Queen Esther tells the king, Mordecai uncovered a plot to assassinate you. Those people were killed. But here's Haman now going, what do I do now? I'm busted. So Mordecai now has been esteemed. He's in trouble. Haman's in trouble. But he came and already got the king because of what he had in his heart towards him, or for Mordecai. He had the king sign a declaration, an edict, to annihilate all the Jews. Now, he already got the king to do that, but he's now at a banquet, getting ready for this banquet, and the king's asking him, what do I do to recognize somebody who does something to save the king? And it's like his plot now is in peril. Uh-oh. I now got to go out and put Mordecai on a horse with the king's robes, with a ring on his finger, and parade him through town. Uh-oh. But the king already signed an edict, too. On a certain day, the Jewish people were going to be wiped out. So now, all of a sudden, here comes the banquet. Queen says, okay, Esther. King says, what is your request now? Well, thank you for being at my cookout, my banquet. I want you to do this one thing for me. King goes, whatever it is, I'll give you up to half my kingdom. Save my people from annihilation. Your people? Yes, I am Jewish. And you signed an edict through this evil adversary of mine called Haman to annihilate my people. And I'm one of them. King was furious. Who would do such a thing? You know, he's like, what? I signed that and he wants to kill you, my wife? Whoa. He goes out to the garden. Goes out to the garden. Haman is now like, uh-oh, I'm toasted. He's crying at her feet. King comes back and says, could you not even just, what, you trying to assault my woman? I'd be slapping that dude, personally. So all of a sudden, the king says to Haman, get out of here. Kind of gives, I'm just kind of bringing it down in the vernacular. Get him out of here, which means he's going to be sentenced to death. One of his guards says, well, he already built a pole in the backyard of his house to already impale Mordecai, the one who already intervened and saved your life from an assassination. That made King even mad. So what happened? He now tells his guard, go put Haman on it. So finally, the king sits down with Mordecai and Esther and says, I can't change what I've already written. So Mordecai and Esther said, we'll write another one. Write an edict, a decree, that you will now allow in those provinces all the Jewish people in every household to defend themselves against the armies that are going to come and annihilate them. He goes, I can do that. Because I can't stop what I already put in place on a certain date. This window coming up next month, there's going to be armies coming through your provinces and killing people in your household. So he says, okay, send out the edict that anyone of Jewish descent in these provinces can defend themselves. So in one day, over 500 plus soldiers, if you will, were killed because the Jewish people were able to defend themselves. So Esther and Mordecai goes, extend it to the rest of the provinces from Susa on. And the king puts another edict and decree to do the same thing. And kill all of Haman's household, including his 10 sons. The king says, yes. So because of that, from all those provinces, all the way from Susa and on, every Jewish person was able to defend themselves for any attacks that would come their way because of Haman's manipulative lie, because of jealousy over Mordecai. to annihilate the Jews. And because every Jewish person was able to defend themselves from annihilation from the greatest kingdom that was already on the planet at the time, they defeated the armies of King Xerxes, or the people that were sent out to destroy and annihilate the Jews. The Jewish people picked up and defended themselves until that day was over. There was another appointed day on the calendar till that day was completely done. It wasn't supposed to be a war that lasted forever. It was on a particular day of a particular month that people were supposed to go out and annihilate Jews, but now all of a sudden an edict comes out and says, on that day, you can defend yourself now. Because the next one was supposed to be spread out across the other provinces. That's where the word Purim came from, and the word means casting lots. So because of Mordecai and Esther, the Jewish people survived impending doom of annihilation. Genocide. So out of all the history of genocide type orders, like Haman, who starts with an H, and Hitler, that's why Purim would always be remembered, because of what Esther and Mordecai did to preserve the Jewish nation. Hitler, in contrast, jealousy and hatred towards the Jews, through World War II, annihilated, captured Jewish people, starting through who lived in Germany. But I look at Purim as a way of anyone who knows the history of Esther and King Xerxes to look at why Esther was able to go in front of the king and ask for that request. She could have just preserved herself and never revealed who she was. She could have done that. She was a leader. She was a queen. And she did it according to the royal customs of approaching the king, who by a word or his scepter being, leaned out, said, here's what it's going to be. And when he wrote an edict, that's it. Signet ring, it's already been passed. It's in law. It's recorded in the library of the king. On this certain date of this certain month, go ahead and kill the Jews. And on this certain date, go and do it again to the rest of the provinces. So Haman had a plot to kill every single boy, girl, man, woman representing the Jewish nation throughout the whole province of India through Ethiopia, because of his hatred over one person named Mordecai. When you have that much hatred, you'll do anything to destroy the person. If you can't destroy him personally, you'll destroy anything that resembles who he is. His reputation, his history, go after his family. It's the same thing what people did when it came to Donald Trump. They went after everything about him because people hated him personally. They went after his family, his connections, his advisors, his friends, his network. That's similar to what Haman was all about because of Mordecai. So if you want to contrast, that's the best way I can only describe it, is look at the hatred people had toward Donald Trump. They wouldn't stop because he wouldn't bow down or kowtow to anything that was political in Washington and those who were the opposing parties toward him. So I want most people, my desire is to see people, when they read the story of Esther, don't go through it as a love story. There's so much more to it, because Esther was handpicked. So her spirit, her persona, who she was so unique at that time that God raised her up. God saw the whole story before it happened, raised her up to save the Jewish people. So the name of the Lord can always be exalted. So Vashti and her vanity, that's why it starts with a V, Vashti vanity, because of her, the king was out looking for a replacement. And Esther was that attractive, not only in beauty, but through her spirit, her personality, her respect, stood out among all the other beautiful ladies at the time, called a harem. And voila, picked by name, picked to be now the replacement of Vashti, and Mordecai still told her, don't tell him your nationality. King never asked either. Nationality meaning your Jewish heritage, not by color, because obviously she had the same pigment type as everyone else that came in, because you're talking, this is a territory, a region, a nationality of India and Ethiopian brown-skinned people of that day, of Persia, Asia Persia. You can just go through that whole thing and look at why Hollywood or whoever produces movies about the story of Esther sometimes miss out the territory and the geographical location of where it all came from, and miss the meaning of Purim, because that is a big significant festival that's celebrated every year to remind why the Jewish nation, Jewish people today, are still here. It's because of what Esther did, presenting her request to King Xerxes because of her uncle Mordecai, who preserved the life of the king through an assassination plot. That's why we got to study the Bible and meditate on it very carefully.
Thanks for listening to Sharing the Word. Join me again as we discuss Bible topics that will help you live a victorious life through Jesus Christ.